We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 307. All right, set the scene here. We are, it's Sunday afternoon. We both made it back from Tampa. You barely. I feel like the last 4 days of my life have either been drinking beer or sitting in an airport. So it was a lot of fun this weekend. We're going to recap it all. But I know you feel like crap right now. I certainly feel like crap right now.
Yeah, it's a new level of exhaustion, really, at this point. And, you know, the fact that I had to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning and didn't go to sleep until, I don't know, 1 o'clock. So I probably got like maybe an hour of sleep, of actual like legitimate sleep. And yeah, walked out of my out of the house after I did the whole search, made sure everything was clean, did all these things, took the stickers off my, the old stickers from the last flight off my bags, and then walked out the door to get in my Uber and without my suitcase. How do you do that?
But it's not like you realized it at that point. You realized it when you got to the airport. You're like, wait a second.
How does this happen? And then all and you know, part of the well, a lot, most of the blame is me, obviously, but I have to put a little bit on this Uber driver who just wouldn't shut up at 4:30 in the morning. And can, like, for some reason I wanted to have a conversation with him at 4:30 in the morning, and yeah, it was very distracting. And then all of a sudden we finally had like a little bit of silence before I got up to the airport, and I'm like, wait a minute, I was like, did I put my bag in the trunk? He's like, no. I'm like, oh my God. So it was a decision of go back to get the bag and very possibly miss your flight, or just go forward and then just call you guys and figure it out later.
Yeah, I figured it out. I traveled with two suitcases on the way home. But the best part is you're half of the equipment you need to record the podcast is in that suitcase.
Yes. So the funny thing is now I'm on the original mic that we ever recorded on, which is this awesome USB mic. So at least we got something.
It was such a fun weekend. I think every year it gets more and more fun. I think you and I were talking just at the bar last night about how this, you know, each year you can see the community building. And this year we had a group of people in the house. Like the first couple of years, it was just you and me down there kind of winging it. Like whoever we can meet, we meet. We'll go out for drinks, whatever it is. But like this year was the first year we had a crew of people centralized in the house, doing podcasts, doing the content and all that stuff, but also we're going to the games to meet people, meet Yankees fans, and it was just so much fun. Despite the fact I missed the Friday game because my flight was delayed 8 hours on Thursday night, and the earliest flight I could get on Saturday was a 1 o'clock flight out, which doesn't really help me for a 1 o'clock game in Tampa. That's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
Despite all those issues, despite your negligence to bring your bag home, a lot of fun this weekend.
It was, yeah. Minor details went in travel. And one of the really cool things is, I mean, I got in a little bit earlier on Thursday than I was expecting, and I was able to catch the game. So I basically just put a call out in the Facebook group that we have for the podcast and asked if anybody was going to the game. So this guy Tim and I hooked up, and he actually ended up picking me up at the airport. I was able to leave my bags in his car.
I'm not picking him up from the airport.
Picked me up at the airport, and we went to the game together because his hotel was literally on the path from his hotel to the stadium was the airport. So it worked out beautifully. We had an awesome time, and then he was pretty much hanging out with us all weekend. It was a lot of fun. It was a ton of fun. The round table that we put out yesterday, I know we were going to keep it a mystery for the day, but might as well tell people now. Obviously it was you and me, then JJ, Frank Marco, who's one of our writers, Dom, who has been working with the podcast for a couple years now, and then Tim was probably the mystery man that nobody knew that voice.
Well, yeah, I wasn't keeping it a mystery. It's just when we started that roundtable, it devolved so quickly that I never even had a chance to introduce everybody.
I have no idea what we talked about.
I don't either. We were not in a state of mind to do anything. It took, first of all, as it always does when we try and do something live in person, the setup takes an hour and a half. So by the time you're actually ready to press record, you're like, all right, let's just do this thing already.
Because we've been trying to
make this microphone work for 45
minutes. Right. Yeah. So it was good. But Friday, the game that you did miss, JJ and I were, well, it's JJ's bit he's going to be doing this year of Stadium Eats. He's done it in the past, but he's bringing it to Bronx Pinstripes this year. So we were able to record the first issue or the first series of that at the stadium, eating some pastrami. We hooked up with the guys from the stadium, and they were awesome, and just pretty much gave us the sandwich and gave us everything we needed basically to do a good review. So I'm excited for that series. I think JJ's gonna do some really cool stuff at the stadium this year, so look for that this week at some point. We're gonna be editing it up and putting it out. So that is another piece of content that we're coming out. And then obviously you touched on it when JJ was filling in for me when I was in Taiwan. But we got the podcast coming out with JJ and Keith. They're actually going to be launching some episodes this week. George's Box. I'm very excited. The big unveiling of George's Box. Oh my goodness gracious.
It was good feedback from people we told, because we were telling people the name of the podcast, and everyone was receptive and laughed, and they got the reference immediately. Yeah. And I think any Yankees fan who listens will get it. But the intro that Keith's buddy made for it is just, as the kids say, it's fire.
Yeah, it is. It's very good. It's very good. So I'm really looking forward to that. That we came up with some segments that are going to be included in that at some point of the show.
Well, really, we buried the whole lead over the weekend, because the love that we saw blossom between JJ and Frank this weekend was the best part of the weekend.
They did have a very special bond. And it was pretty amusing for everybody, I think, during the whole thing. So congratulations to them on their newfound friendship.
Yes. And I think just in general, Bronx Pinstripes being in town this year was good luck for the boys, because 31 runs scored in the two games that a Bronx Pinstripes person was attending Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and those are the most fun. You know, I got to tell you, when the guys cooperate and start hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and you start seeing the ball flying out with Judge hit a few home runs or a couple home runs, we were able to see some big home runs from the guys that people wanted to see. So that was the good thing. And then, you know, while that's happening, obviously, like, the atmosphere gets that much better. So you're hanging out. We had we sold just shy of 80 tickets, and I gave out a whole bunch of T-shirts that we had to people that came to the event. So we were able to talk with, you know, a whole bunch of people. I mean, it was just I can't even call out the people that I talked to, because there were so many. But it was just a lot of fun. We all had a really good time, and I'm looking forward to all these other events. It was just kind of like a nice little preview or appetizer for all the BP crew events coming up, and the first one is coming up April 13th. Make sure you guys are going to get your crew together and sign up for that game, because we're getting on the dates where I need to start ordering shirts.
It's so close now. Yeah, it's so, like, the season, it's like, this happened last year too. We went to spring training, and then it's like you blink your eye and it's going to be the regular season. I mean, opening day is 2 weeks away.
Yeah, that's
pretty crazy.
I know. And so we have to order the t-shirts ahead of time so that everybody gets them by the event date. So the deadline's going to be right around the first of the month. So if you're planning on going to that game and sit with us in 205, get on it and start and buy those tickets, because one, they're going quick, and two, time is running out.
And another thing that we did after the game on Saturday, you know, we've been talking about all the different BP crew chapters around the country, and Tampa was one of the more active ones that we've been getting a group together for, and we figured, since we're going to be there, let's do a kickoff. We went to Cigar City Brewery after the game and did like a little mini kickoff for that chapter. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
too.
That was a good time. We hung out with a bunch of people there. Colleen's been setting all that stuff up at the back. She's been really, really good with that. And I know a lot of people have already spoken with her, but if you have not gotten in touch with us, definitely shoot an email, or, you know, just if you go to our, you'll see the group through the Bronx Pinstripes group on Facebook. You'll see our BP crew group in there, and you can get hooked up with a chapter. So lots of big things happening with that too. I'm pumped up about it.
Yeah, and just quickly on JJ and Keith's podcast, George's Box, that the first intro episode and the first like real episode will be on this feed, so you will get it. And then they're gonna have their own feed. Obviously, you have to go and get the episodes going forward on that new feed. But theirs is gonna be a Wednesday episode, so it's really gonna blend nicely with ours, because during the season we do Monday, Thursday. They're going to be right in the middle of the week. So basically, you know, something to listen to almost every day.
Yeah, no, it's good. And the fact, so they'll be have the intro on, we said Tuesday is going to come out. The intro for George's Box will be on Tuesday, where you get to know more about them and you know, whatever they're going to put in their intro episode. And then they'll have their first episode after that on Wednesday, and then the fall. And those will both be, like you said, on the Bronx Pinstripe Show feed in iTunes and wherever you listen to us. So you'll be able to hear it then. And then the next week, they'll have their own iTunes feed, and we'll just kind of point you guys in the direction.
You know what's funny about those intro episodes? Because you remember we did one too? But you do the intro episode and you're launching a new podcast. So like 17 people listen to the intro episode. And then as you gain more people and they come in with, we've done over 300 episodes at this point. I'm sure that like an intro episode after 300, like a reintroduction to new people who have not really, don't really know much about us, might even be a good thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's something we can do eventually.
Yeah, it probably won't happen.
Just like that video is not getting edited from the
other day. We'll see.
All right, so let's get into some topics. The first is injury updates. So we kind of mentioned, we talked about Severino and Aaron Hicks both. We had the news last week, but we got more updates over the weekend. Cashman said it's unlikely Severino is going to be ready in April. So we're looking at like a May 1st timetable for Severino. And it's not because he had a setback. It's just because he hasn't had a spring training. And we kind of said that, right?
Yeah. Like,
yes, it's a two-week setback, but that was supposed to be his first start, where he was feeling discomfort. That was supposed to be his first start. So he's done nothing this spring.
Right. No, he hasn't had a spring training. So, you know, everybody's freaking out because they heard the word May. But at the same time, Cashman also was talking about this on the Michael Kay show when he was talking to Kay, also saying that, you know, setting expectations, he likes to, you know, under promise and over deliver, in the sense that he also thinks that he might be back sooner than that. So there's a possibility that he comes back sooner than that, but it'll be towards the end of April, early May at the earliest. But yeah, he's got to go through spring. He's got to get his arm back up. He essentially has to start over again. That's basically what has to happen. So I mean,
that's classic Cashman speak, isn't it?
I mean, he's been with the timelines ever since Judge and saying that, oh, he's going to be back this time, and then, oh, we have to push that back and push that back. He's just not doing that anymore. He's going to leave them way out.
I mean, I understand people freaking out. Like, they see May 1st, and that's a full month of the season. That's five or six starts that Severino is going to miss. And when he's your best pitcher, that's a problem. Yeah. So I understand why people are freaking out.
No, I mean, yeah, for sure. But what I'm saying is that it really didn't change the timeline very much by saying May. I think it's just a matter of recognizing that it's actually going to be a whole month. But, you know,
there wasn't a timeline really before. They said 2 weeks, and that's when he's going to restart his basically spring training. But
then you have to have spring training.
We understood he's going to have spring training after that. But I think what people are concerned about is the rotation, which we all offseason said, well, this rotation is a hell of a lot better than last year. Paxton addition is going to be huge. A steady J-Hap. Plus, you know, CC as the fifth starter and Severino anchoring it. Well, now to start the season, they're two out of the five aren't going to be there opening day because of either injury or suspension.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, the fact that we're going to be going to, you know, certain guys like Luis Sessa or Herman, or, you know, even possibly the Yankees looking at the, you know, what's left on the free agent market at this point. I mean, there's two lefties
but that doesn't help you for April.
No, I mean, that's true, because these guys haven't, I mean, I don't know what they've been doing on their own. It's not, they're not injured, so I mean, I'm sure they're getting, their arm is
but
conditioned.
Do you remember when the Orioles signed Alex Cobb late in spring training last year? He was not ready in April. Well, he needed to, because these guys, even if they're in shape, they're not in game shape. They're not getting into spring training games. They're not in spring training.
No, for sure.
We're talking about Gonzalez and Keuchel and any other free agents who are still.
Yeah, but there. I mean, if I'm them, I'm throwing sim games. And I'm like, I'm doing everything possible to get my arm ready to go and working on the certain pitches. I mean, so they can get ready. And then wouldn't need too much time. But, I mean, I don't know. It depends on what they've been doing. It depends on how they've been, you know, treating this weird free agency at the end, and how they're going to sign and how they're, you know, how they're pitching themselves at this point, saying, okay, yeah, we can be ready in 2 weeks. Or do we really have to wait an entire month?
Maybe it's not an entire month, but maybe it's the second week of the season or the third week of the season.
You know?
And with Hicks, we said last week we're not going to freak out about Hicks either, because this is just, you know, mild back discomfort. They're not going to take any risks. Now he's had two cortisone shots, though. And this is the second year in a row Aaron Hicks has dealt with injuries early in the season. And I was kind of thinking, like, he's a guy, his body is finicky, right? Well, so is he a guy that just, for whatever reason, takes a while to get ramped up, a while to get loosened up? He's going to deal with aches and pains early in the season. Is this just who Aaron Aaron Hicks is.
Yeah, here comes the cliche of we need the weather to get warm so that his muscles can relax.
Warm? What are you talking
about?
He
needs to get a lot.
I was sweating my ass off on Saturday. Yeah, no,
he's
warm.
He's down there, but he's got to get into the groove of you know playing in an extended time and not having any cool downs and just you know getting into those dog days so that you can play every single day. I don't know. I'm making shit up at this point. He's got soft tissue injuries that they're issues. It's a problem with him. So it's probably going to be something that we're
We still haven't had a doctor on the podcast to explain soft tissue injuries. I don't think lower back is soft tissue.
Again, he's got that type of body where if it's soft tissue and in your hamstring and your lower body, yeah, I'm not going back into this with the muscles. It's a muscular issue, right? That's tightness. It's tightness that can affect your spine and your lower back. But usually it's those muscles, and yeah, there is some soft tissue back there.
A soft tissue injury is the damage of muscles, ligaments, and tendons throughout the body.
There you go. So that's exactly what it is.
Common soft tissue injuries usually occur from a sprain, strain.
Are you reading like WebMD right now?
Yeah, okay. I just Googled it. So how does this impact the roster with Hicks not being ready for opening day? Who's going to be the extra? Because they're going to have to replace him with an outfielder.
Yeah, you know, well, maybe not strictly an outfielder. I mean, I think it opens up some avenues for people like obviously Tyler Wade, who was a big discussion this weekend amongst everybody.
But I think he's going to make the roster regardless. I think if
but
it
he
opens
can play the outfield. That's the beauty,
right?
Of him.
But I think if it's not Clint Frazier, who I think is the easiest, because Clint Frazier's not had a good spring, but he can play the outfield. It looks like Gardner would play center field, and you can have Clint Frazier for left field for the week or two, however long Hicks needs. Mm-hmm. But if they don't want to go that route, I see the other one being they would carry both first basemen and then have Tyler Wade be the infield-outfield guy and DJ LeMahieu be the regular utility guy he was already planning on.
Right, and that's the importance of Tyler Wade. So he would have the ability, the Yankees would have the ability then to leave both first baseman on that roster if that was the case because he can play outfield. But yeah, the other clear option would be to have Clint go out and play left field more often. You know, we've seen him play a couple different positions, so I think that he could play a game in center if they wanted him to, or you know, they could figure something out so that Gardner's not out there every single day. And yeah, I don't know. We just got to be careful, I guess, in the beginning of the season by calling it or expecting just a week, you know, for Hicks. We need to see him.
Well, he said he expects to be ready for the second series of the year.
Okay, well, that's good. That's I hope it works out. You know, and the second cortisone shot did what they needed it to do, so that he doesn't feel that tightness. Because yeah, when you start getting into another cortisone shot, and then we've extended it now a little bit longer, then you start to get worried a little bit more, because it could be one of these nagging things that you know, you think is going to go away at any moment, but just doesn't. And that's the what I'm afraid of.
Getting back to the first base thing, if you carry both first basemen just for the time while Hicks is out, isn't that delaying the inevitable, the decision that they're going to eventually have to make to choose one of these guys?
The problem is there are so many of these decisions that we're delaying for the inevitable at some point. When Didi comes back, when you know, when Hicks is back, we have to clear a first baseman out there. Like, there are so many decisions that are being made as a temporary fix for the moment. So yeah, that's going to be one of them. Like, at some point, you know, I don't believe that you should be carrying both of those guys, because Boone has already come out and said LeMahieu is going to be backing up first base as well. So why do you need three first basemen on the roster when, you know, you're carrying as many pitchers as you are? You need those positions. You need those guys to be playing different positions, not just fixed at one position.
And it's not even like they can really do much on the bench, right? Like, neither can be a pinch runner. Right? They could be a pinch hitter, but how many times in the American League, and especially in this lineup, do you really have pinch hitting opportunities?
Especially early in the season, you just don't have that many times. It's just not done early in the season as much either. And you know, they need to keep that DH spot as a revolving door so that guys can come in and get rest, especially early in the season. You know, they're not going to want to push guys like too hard early in the season. They want to
judge,
especially if the, well, especially see, if the weather's thing, like super cold and we have crappy weather up in New York, because that does play.
I mean, it could be sleeting opening
right.
day, like. It snowed last year.
That's what I'm saying. So they need that DH spot to be, you know, rather flexible and not have a guy that is clearly going to be playing first base, DHing, or on the bench. At that point, you're kind of wasting a roster spot.
And you're kind of hurting both Voit and Bird, because you're giving them half the amount of at-bats
right.
that they are used to.
No, exactly. So. That's a big deal. And I still think that, like, we saw Voit come in, obviously, at the end, and everybody's enamored by this guy. He's a fan favorite. He's become a fan favorite very fast. You know, if they still think it's him, and that's the guy they're going to start the season with as the starting first baseman, quote unquote, then I think it would really be beneficial if you're going to send one of those guys down. I think it would be more beneficial for all of us to see what Greg Bird can do at AAA and to get the reps, just to be there every day, playing every day, and to get himself into a good groove. Because I think it would really help him in the long term to prove that, you know, he's healthy to himself, and then, you know, be taking swings every single day and actually playing a regular schedule as a starting first baseman, you know, even if it isn't AAA.
If he can prove he's healthy, that opens up so many opportunities for the Yankees and for Greg Bird. Because say he proves he's healthy in Scranton and Voit proves he was not a fluke last year, well, then the Yankees can actually maybe trade Bird and get something back for him, because I think there would be a market for that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys could definitely be moved if we have a perfect scenario in the sense that everybody's hitting and everybody's playing well and healthy. I mean, yeah, they have I don't think they would do it immediately, because I still think that there's some pullback. There's some like wait and see with both of these guys, you know, even into the season, like a month or two into the season. We still have a short sample size of Luke Voit, and we still have, you know, complete questions around everything Greg Bird, whether he can play when he's healthy, whether he can be healthy, you know, all of these things are still very much unknowns. And I don't think you can come to a determination and like an actual decision a month in. You still are, okay, now I'm a month in. What if he breaks down now? And then you trade a guy away. It's just, I think they're going to be holding both of them.
You don't usually see trades happen. You don't really see trades happen a month or two.
No, I mean, early as June, usually.
More of a long-term thing, yeah. But I just think that, you know, this is Greg Bird's, I think this is Greg Bird's last season to prove that he can play baseball.
I hope so. I really do, because I'm sick of it. You know, it's shit or get off the pot at this point. That's it. And I have to believe that the Yankees are feeling the same way.
And Boone was wearing Luke Voit's merchandise. He was wearing his shirt around the clubhouse. Yeah. So if that's any indication of who's going to be on the roster.
Yeah, I don't think it. I think someone just threw him a shirt and he put it on.
Well, that's what I was thinking. We should send Boone I support hairless cats and birds shirt.
And see if he wears it.
So he can be fair and balanced.
Yeah, you do. You should be making sure that clubhouse is very even. It's been an even matchup on the field. Make it even with the t-shirts.
Speaking of injuries, Jacoby Ellsbury reported to camp today. We did not know. It's like Jose Canseco.
Are there pictures?
Searching
do we have
Bigfoot.
Pictures?
We weren't sure if there was actually going to be Jacoby Ellsbury walking around.
Right.
No, there's no. I haven't seen any pictures, so cannot confirm.
that was a big topic as well. Like the bets of Jacoby Ellsbury actually showing up and actually doing anything. But you know, he's got to pass that physical first, because he's a new player to the team.
Am I the only one who found that hilarious? Like. Like Jacoby Ellsbury showed up. Next steps for him are to take a physical.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What is that gonna show? How long is that thing gonna take?
Yeah, it's gonna be a ringer. It's gonna be the most exhausting physical of all time. We're gonna give you a physical until you break down. That's what it is.
I thought he's been doing. Isn't that what he's been doing for the last 6 months? Is just going through physical therapy.
Well, they want to see it one more time just to make sure that, you know, he actually is healthy, because. I'm expecting something to come out of this physical, and it's not going to be good for Jacoby Ellsbury. Maybe it will. I mean, he'll be able to go back to Arizona and hang out, you know, with whoever he wants or the Pac Northwest. But yeah, we'll see what happens after this physical.
Will it be a foot issue, a leg issue, or a back?
Could
issue?
Be all three, honestly. I mean,
all
it could be all of the above.
Is the easy money on all of the above? Okay. So we watched this play happen in real time on Saturday. Esteban Florio went back for a ball in center field, crashed into the wall. We joked about it at the time. Maybe you weren't around when we were doing this, but I remember it was me, Dom, and JJ. We were joking, and JJ goes, "That's what I would look like if I were out playing center field for the New York Yankees." Yep. Because if you watch the play, it was sort of just like he was meandering backpedaling, which is something you never want to do, and just sort of tried to jump at the last minute for the ball and crashed down into the base of the wall. He got up. He didn't appear injured, but apparently. He suffered a right wrist fracture, and now this is the second year in a row he's dealing with a right wrist injury.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, it is hard to see like what actually happens in a play from the stands when it's something in deep center field, but if this is something that is going to hold him back and another time with the wrist, like, it's super unfortunate because you're just putting this kid further back. You know, the timeline just keeps stalling, and like, we're now two years away still. It just seems like we've been 2 years away for a while now with this kid.
Well, like you talked about with Ben Badler, why isn't he on the top 100 prospect list? And it's because of the injury last year. He didn't have a real season. Right. And now if he's going to – this might be minor, right? He had surgery last year on his hammock bone, right? That's how you say that?
Sure.
Yeah, hammock bone. And that he only played something like 80 games or something. So if this is just a couple, even a month long thing, like, he could still have a full, pretty much full season. But if this is going to affect him and he only plays another 80 games – well, then he's kind of like you said. He's just like he's not making the progress you want to see out of your top prospect.
Well, yeah, and it's not because of, you know, failure to move forward with the ability that you're seeing. It's these injuries that are just keeping you in the sand. You're not moving. You know, you can't be progressing if you're not playing, obviously. So that's the problem, and it's unfortunate because he was really good. We saw some really good flashes, I think, this spring. I think people got really excited about Floreal. And again, just like everybody did last year, like, just seeing this guy out there, he's a specimen. He's an unbelievable athlete, and the way he plays and runs, he obviously, everybody just gets excited when they watch him play. So I hope it's not as serious, you know, as anything was last year, and that he can come back from this with you know, no issues. But the wrist is also one of those just really concerning things as a baseball player. Hitting is obviously, the wrist plays a very big factor into that, and there's a discomfort, and that takes a while to get back from it. So hopefully it's
especially
not
when it's the same wrist.
Yeah, and mentally you got to get past that hurdle now too.
He was having a really good spring, 355 average with a 945 OPS in 31 at bats.
Yeah, and I mean, you see the numbers, and the eye test just confirmed it immediately. I mean, it was just so glaringly obvious that this guy is a ball player.
So the season's coming up. It's right around the corner. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there thinking about their fantasy lineups. For baseball, if you love fantasy baseball, then you need to be playing Best Ball on Draft. Here's how it works. So it's a season-long league, but with no management. So if you like the action of fantasy baseball, you like checking your lineups, this is the thing for you. Once you're done drafting, that's it. There's no trades, no waivers. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically selected, and you'll get the best score every week guaranteed. And I know that's something I always get annoyed with in fantasy, is when I have like 45 points on my bench. So leagues start every minute, so you can join one right now. The best part, play for cold hard cash and get paid out the next day. Drafts start at just $1, so there's a draft for everybody.
Yeah, go download the app right now. Just search Draft in your app store or play from your computer on draft.com. This year they're running a $100,000 Best Ball Championship. Draft the best team and you could win a piece of that $100,000 in prizes. It's that simple. All new players get a free entry into a best ball draft when you make your first deposit and use promo code Bronx. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com. Come play free with promo code Bronx.
So we mentioned this in the outfield talk a couple minutes ago, but Brett Gardner and Clint Frazier, that was also maybe one of the battles we were going to look to this spring. Well, Brett Gardner is having a fantastic spring training. 455 batting average, 1345 OPS. Meanwhile, Clint Frazier is hitting .176 with a 544 OPS. Now, I still think because of the Hicks injury, they could both be on the roster. But, man, did Gardner come up to play. Is this because, like, maybe a fire was lit under his ass? He doesn't want to be the old guy just, you know, discarded with the scraps. He wants to prove he can still contribute to this team. What is going on with Brett Gardner?
I mean, yeah, I guess Brett Gardner's got something to prove in the sense that you see his age, you see what's coming up behind him, and people are already looking past that. So we know how he's been a fast starter in the past. Like, the guy comes out with his hair on fire. He's always been that type of player. He's crashing into walls, making catches. I mean, he's just a baller. And the fact that Frazier's not hitting, I mean, I will say that the games that I saw three games this week, and Frazier was hitting the ball hard. you know, a few of the times it was just right at people. So I didn't think he doesn't look as bad as those numbers. And again, I really don't take a lot of stock in what the actual outcome is. I'm looking at what he's doing, like how hard he's hitting the ball, things like that. And I thought he looked okay. And honestly, like getting past the spring and getting through it healthy for Clint and making sure that he can play at a high level and having no issues that are coming back from that concussion, to me is a big win. And I think we'll give him a shot of confidence too, knowing that he can go out and play. I mean, he had a play at the wall last week, early in the week. And I know I was cringing when I saw him going back, but I think it's a big deal for him.
That's exactly how he got hurt last year.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, don't you know the first rule of spring training stats? It's that if they're good, then it matters. And if they're bad, then it doesn't matter.
Well, no, it matters. It matters if it's convenient. Talking about a battle. But
it is important to state that Brett Gardner has a 1345 OPS. That is a sign that Brett Gardner is not done yet. But the fact that Clint Frazier is struggling doesn't mean anything because it's just spring training.
No, that's true. But when you have a competition and you're competing for a spot, you know, at that point, at some point, you're looking at the at-bats. You're looking at the entire picture of what that player looks like at this point. So, yeah, the numbers, while they don't mean anything, they do in a sense that, you know, there is a competition for the last roster spot. No,
they don't mean anything. They don't mean anything.
Aaron Boone loves numbers, and they mean something to him.
Well, and it's, I guess, if they were closer, then if the numbers are close, then that's more difficult of a decision for the team, right? Like with the situation with Bird and Voigt.
Well, yeah, and they're close in that sense. They're close because both guys look good. I mean, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for what they're doing on defense, how they're how their at bats are, and you know which guy's doing it and which guy's not. But yeah, they're close, and they're both playing really well. Like that's the bottom line. The fact that I saw a lot of hard hit balls by Frazier this week, so those numbers are very deceiving to me from what I saw in person. And I know Gardy is, first of all, I don't think it's a competition. I mean, Gardy's obviously, we know he's the starting left fielder, but it's just a matter of if Clint can make this team at this point.
Mm-hmm. Gardy might be the starting center.
He might be. Yeah, he will be. Yeah.
Right, and we're seeing other guys like Betances has had velocity issues this spring, but it's something also that if you think like go back to, there's been reports like he's dealt with this many springs where he, for whatever reason, takes him a while to ramp up. So the Yankees are not concerned. He's not concerned with the fact that he's throwing low 90s at this point in the middle of March.
Yeah, I mean, and he really wasn't even – he hit low 90s on the last week like one or two times. So, but again, they were talking with him about this. This has happened in the past. One of the first years he came up, he was hitting like 84 around this time. So, you know, I'm not concerned about it. When I see that the player has a history of you know, increasing velocity slower than some other guys, you know, it's just different for each guy. Like, their bodies are different. Betances knows this. Betances knows how to push his body to get it ready for when the games matter. So I have trust in that because he's done it in the past. And the team knows how the player operates, and I have, you know, confidence in that. So I'm not worried about that. He's not injured. He's just not at the velocity yet.
Right. Were you watching the radar gun yesterday when Chapman came into the game?
I was not. I could barely watch any of the game yesterday.
Yeah, I maybe saw like five plays in the game. But I noticed the radar gun because I had also heard reports that Chapman's velocity had been down. And like the first five pitches he threw, like 92, 93, 94. And then on the last batter, he threw three straight 98-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Yeah, I mean, so why is it a surprise that in spring training, guys' velocity is down? Like, yeah, they're probably
also,
not
they're
be
not
all the
trying,
way up.
They're not trying to, like, Chapman's not out there trying to throw 105 miles an hour in March. It's just, that'd be stupid. I wouldn't want him to do that.
Yeah, these guys know their bodies. Bottom line, I mean, we're not looking at injuries here. They're just ramping up. That's it.
Right, and you can give the veterans that slack. And then on the flip side, you see a guy like Luis Sessa, who we have criticized countless times, despite the fact that he watches the Bronx Pinstripes Instagram stories.
He's a big fan.
He might not be a major league pitcher because what we've seen is him have success in AAA and then come up for spot starts in the majors and struggle. But so far in spring, 13 innings pitched, only 7 hits allowed, 1 run, 1 walk, 13 strikeouts. He's had a fantastic spring. He's been one of the brightest spots of the Yankees pitching staff so far in spring. And with 2 rotation spots open to start the year and his lack of options,
I really see this, like, him pretty much a lock for one of those rotation spots. And I think the plan for him is going to be give him a handful of starts until Severino comes back. If he's good, great. We can find a role for him somewhere on this team. If he still struggles, then they might have to just cut their losses with him, and you might see a DFA situation.
Yeah, yeah, or one of those trades for, you know, maybe some pool money or something.
Player to be named later, or cash, or some international bonus money.
So the you know, he has looked good, and here we are again looking at numbers. But when you're looking at how the player has pitched, On the game in Toronto, I was at that Thursday game when he pitched against them. He looked good, but there was nobody playing for Toronto either. There were like a couple guys that were in the lineup and for not very long. So you have to take it with a grain of salt when you're looking at these numbers as well, because of the competition. I mean, a lot of them were literally single and double A players that he was facing. But the fact that he's getting a lot of swings and misses, the fact that he's going out there and, you know, not letting up hits, and then the control, like, that's another big thing for me. I see one walk. I really like that. That means he's locating his pitches. He's getting the swings and misses. So, you know, I think you can take something away from that. And the fact that he's, you know, he's looking good and been tuning up to a point where he feels comfortable. So the biggest thing was with Sessa, and I think Herman is really the same, in the same boat, in the sense that we've seen some success from both of these guys, but unfortunately, it just hasn't been able to get over the hump where you go four innings and you're good, and then all of a sudden, you know, second or third time through the order, these guys lock on, or you lose your control, and then there's a big inning thrown in there. And that's the thing. He's got to throw it in. He's got to put together, similar to Herman, more consistency with, you know, finishing off his starts.
And the problem for a guy like Luis Sessa and the 2018-2019 Yankees is he doesn't have room to fail on a team like this, right? They're not going to let him go out there for two straight months and, quote, figure it out. Like, you cannot just be punting games like that when you're going to be battling with the Red Sox around 100 wins. It's just not...
We did it last year. We don't need to do it again.
Right. So, like, and that's that's the beauty of rooting for a team that is expecting to win a World Series, but it's also why you see these kinds of teams like struggle to bring up some young talent sometimes. It's because there's no opportunity to fail. You cannot fail. You can't deal with that.
Well, at this time, the unless they go out there into the free agent market and find something that can come and actually help in a relatively timely manner, I mean, this is the best option at this point. So when we're looking at just a guy coming out there and you can't fail, I mean, like, there really isn't as many options. I mean, yeah, we have a Loaiza as a possibility. There could be a couple other guys in AAA that might, you know, start off strong that could get an opportunity. But Sessa knows this is it. I mean, he's got no more options. So he knows that this is it. This is his last chance to go out there and show what he can do and prove that he's, you know, that the actual stuff that he has can equate to getting guys out at a consistent basis on the major league level. That's it. It's, again, another shit or get off the pot situation.
He just must be playing the 8 Mile soundtrack on loop. Just getting pumped up for these.
Yeah. No, I like that.
It's a nice segue into the first couple mailbag questions we have, though. I just quickly want to put a call out to all of the listeners out there. If you have not done so, give us a good rating and review in iTunes and wherever it is you listen, but specifically iTunes, because that's the bulk of where these ratings and reviews and the downloads are coming from. But the reason I'm asking is because spring training is almost over. Opening day is around the corner. This is going to be new people who are searching for baseball content. And the more ratings and reviews, the higher we, more publicity we get, the more visibility we get. And it really does help us out. It's the number one thing you guys can do to show the support. You ready to get into some mailbag,
Scott?
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right, I'm going to read back to back here. First one's from Brittany Rose. She's posted in our Facebook group. With it being announced now that Sevy is out until at least May 1st, do we still go with internal options to fill the void or seek external help? If so, who? And then Sean says, I'm going to be blunt here. Just like last year, just like every year, the Yanks don't have enough pitching. How do they expect to get past the Red Sox? Cashman needs to look himself in the mirror and acknowledge his biggest flaw, and that's neglect towards consistent, reliable starting pitching. It's definitely costed the Yankees at least two, possibly three titles. So with the injuries, it's like we said, people are freaking out. What are they going to do to fill the 2 out of 5 spots?
I mean, we discussed this last week as well. Like, first of all, Cashman did address the pitching staff. He absolutely addressed the pitching staff this year to a level that really all you can do when you're looking for like high quality starters, you can't go out there and sign six guys for a 5-man rotation. You just can't do it. The sixth guy doesn't get a rotation spot. So what are you supposed to do with him as a starting pitcher? I understand these injuries happen in a time that's unfortunate to start the season, but they signed CC Sabathia. So if we're looking at something there and like this is where I will go with it. I think the question is, was bringing back CC the right move, knowing what you know, how he pitches, you know, not deep into games. There's an injury history there. He's obviously an older player. Rather than going out and finding another guy, another more consistent player, you know, whether it's going out and signing a guy like Keuchel or Gio Gonzalez is out there, that to me really is like the only decision that you can look at and say, okay, because signing a sixth piece just doesn't make any sense. And you have to look into your depth, into your minor leagues, and see what you have. That's where the depth is on every roster, in every team, that you have to go to the minor leagues at some point.
The Sabathia signing happened around the same time as the Gardner signing, yeah. Right? That happened like basically in the same week. And I think that was Cashman just like getting stuff out of the way. Like these are known commodities. I'm getting them for a price I'm comfortable with. I'm just going to do it and then see how the market plays out. I think that was his plan there. And then he obviously didn't like where the market turned out for a lot of these free agents.
Well, again, I once you're signing the fifth guy, once you bring Hap back and you make the trade for Paxton, now you have a full rotation. I mean, who could have predicted that Severino wasn't going to be
those happened.
Ready?
Paxton, so...
But the point is,
CC
once you
happened
have five,
before the Paxton and Hap stuff.
Hap was the last thing to happen. Once you have Hap, that's your like you could have gone after Corbin and they did, and he got a stupid amount of money. So Corbin was the guy that they tried to go after, but then they landed Hap, and the reason they did that was because they felt that he was going to help the team and improve the rotation for the entire season and not just having him in the second half. But again, I don't know how you can go out and go after a guy like Dallas Keuchel, let's say, and legitimately try to sign him for a big contract for a good amount of years and have five starters already. Where do you put them? I don't get that. Unless you're going to a 6-man rotation, which they're not, there's just no room. You can't stack a roster with too many starting pitchers that are expecting to pitch every 5 days. The math doesn't work.
I get it, and I agree with you, but then when the injuries happen, people second guess it, and that's always going to be people are. It's like, well, how could you not expect injuries to happen? Injuries always happen. You always go to your sixth, seventh, sometime eighth
right,
starter.
I get it.
By the time the season is over,
and that's why you have to look at AAA and you have to look around and see if you can get some guys on a minor league deal that can go out there and potentially have some success in AAA and come up and help. Or you have some of your guys like there's obviously some comfort level with having you know Loaisiga, Sessa, and Herman, and having one of those three, you know, they certainly weren't expecting two of the three in the beginning, but having some, you know, success from some of those guys as spot starts. So look, I think that there's depth in the minor leagues, and I just believe that they were comfortable with that. And I don't see how you can possibly go out and spend money on five guys. So if you're looking at making an upgrade on the rotation to what has already been done, then to me you're looking at CC Sabathia, because that's the guy that is more of a wild card, in the sense that you know that there's an injury history, you know that he's not going to give you the innings that a guy like Dallas Keuchel will. So, you know, there's just a lot of things I think around that signing alone, if you're one of those people that say Cashman should have done things differently.
Yeah, and at this point I really do not see them going outside of the organization to bring in another starter, unless we see another starter go down in the next week and a half, which I really hope doesn't happen. But just I want to play this out, because Dallas Keuchel is still out there. He's the best pitcher on the free agent market. At this time last year, Alex Cobb was still out there, and the Orioles signed him to a 4-year $57 million contract. That's $14.25 million a year. And he signed late in spring. He was not ready for opening day, as we said earlier. But do you see Keuchel signing something like that, which is a 4-year deal, but it's much less per year value than he was expecting? Or do you see a team maybe giving him like a 1-year $25 million contract?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Keuchel at this point, I'm looking at a one-year deal and trying to get as much money as I possibly can. I'm going the Darrell Revis route at this point and trying to maximize my earning. But it with the market, the way that it's played out, it wouldn't surprise me if he did get an offer like that Alex Cobb deal and was a 4 years and was a little bit lower on the AAV that he took it, just knowing what the market has been doing. So,
right.
You know, he's had demands, and obviously nobody's really met those demands. So he's playing, you know, he's staying firm in what he wants. Now, I could see the Yankees going after a guy like Gio Gonzalez, which probably wouldn't cost that much money. And if, you know, once you know, everybody was healthy, you could dump him, or you could trade him, you could do something with him if it didn't work out. But that's a guy that maybe they could go, you know, and do it. But again, he's got to be ready. And when is he going to be ready?
Exactly. So we're still in the same boat. If you sign a guy and he's not ready until the third week of the season, you're still in the same boat with Luis Sessa and Domingo Herman starting.
And does everybody believe that Gio Gonzalez is going to be a better option than Domingo Herman?
I think he is a safer option than Domingo Herman.
I think at this point you could probably make that argument. You could definitely make that argument, but at the same time, Herman has so much more upside and has the ability to be a much better pitcher than Gio Gonzalez is right now. So if you're looking for,
but are you looking for safe? What are you looking? That's the thing, though. What are you looking for? You're probably looking for safe out of that spot. You're not looking for high risk, high reward.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but you also have to then weigh that, you know, he's coming in on, and you're going to have to pay him, and there's going to be a contract, and you know, there's additional things than just being safe. So there's other factors that come into it, and if they're comfortable right now with what they have with Herman and Sessa, and they think that CeCe's going to be back, you know, relatively quickly, then they're looking at one spot, and you know, that they have to fill for a month, and you know, maybe the Yankees think that they can do that, and like, you know, we talked about last week, it's not something that I like looking at, but when the situation might call for it and you're kind of cornered into that, you know, there is a possibility that they could bullpen a game here or there and you know, fill that rotation spot on different times with a bullpen. So I think if Severino is looking like he's going to be coming back and CeCe is you know, on track again to come back relatively early in the season, then I don't think they need to go out there and make a drastic move, because they're only going to be filling a few spots.
You know me, I don't hate the bullpenning idea. Yeah. to get them through until everyone's healthy. Next up is from Jason. The Red Sox have had a terrible spring, and we just blew them out on Friday. The Yankees are currently near the top of the standings. In 2018, Boston had the best spring training record, and it seemed like they carried it right throughout the season. Is this a sign of bad things to come for the Red Sox? Maybe I am reading too much into spring results. So again, with the spring wins and losses, they only matter when you win. They don't matter if you lose. But it is interesting that are we seeing like a mini World Series hangover from the Red Sox in spring training?
I mean, I don't think so. I think that we're just, I think it means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So no.
But you do remember they had a very good spring last year, and I think the narrative around the Red Sox was like, this is our year. We dominated in spring training, like front, you know, day one to the end of the season, even in spring training, we're just trying to win games. So they took it, like, that was their motto last year. Now, what's their motto this year? Like, we won the World Series. Like, we'll just turn the switch back on when opening day rolls around.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger concern when you're looking at the Red Sox is still their pitching staff. So, and I think all of these
bullpen,
but pitching staff in general too. I mean, I guess it's just you see what Eovaldi is. We'll see what he is like. Is he the guy that he was last year at the end of last year? Is he the guy that was in the playoffs? What is he? So, I still think there's still a lot of question marks with the entire pitching staff. But yeah, the bullpen's a freaking disaster.
Okay, fine, but Eovaldi's their fourth starter. They've got Price, Sale, and Porcello. I think the rotation is going to be very good again, but their bullpen is trash, and I don't know who their closer is going to be. They're I think going to just
Frazier.
Throw shit against the wall.
I think Ryan
Brazier
is going to be the guy.
I've also read Matt Barnes.
Yeah, like, I mean,
I've read different things about who they're going to.
The Brazier kid, he's not a kid, he's actually older, but right, he was their closer in Pawtucket. So I don't know, they have some guys that they apparently feel comfortable with. So we'll see what happens. I hope they continue on this little experiment. I really do, because I think it's not going to end well.
So here's the thing. Like, I want to put yourself in the shoes of a Red Sox fan. And like Yankees fans complain that the Yankees didn't do enough to improve the team. They didn't spend money this offseason. Can you imagine if the Yankees were going into this season with no bullpen or like no third baseman or no center fielder and they just neglected to sign somebody who was at that position? We would be apeshit.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy on how they absolutely just said we're not going to make this a better bullpen in any way, shape, or form. Like zero upgrades. We're just going to go into
they got
this
worse.
With complete.
No, they got worse. They lost their two best relief pitchers.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right, last question is from Manny Moe. What do you think about the active roster revision rule regarding eliminating the 40-man roster in September? Also, can you explain the two-way player rule, the Ohtani rule, ? And if the Yankees have anyone presently that can fill that role in the bigs? All I know of is Anthony Siegler, but he just started with us in the minors. Also, Anthony Siegler, as we talk to him, is just going to be focusing on catching and hitting.
Yeah, so I think the new rule changes are interesting, but it's one of those things that we'll see what happens. The two way position players. I was actually talking with Manny about this at the brewery yesterday. We were talking about this, but yeah, Siegler is not going to be pitching. He's going to be hitting from the left side, so we're not going to see that type of thing. But it's crazy how they made this rule basically for one player. And I know they had to make a rule when we started getting ambidextrous pitchers into the league as well. So they're having to adjust with these strange, little micro incidents, I guess, with one player. But yeah, they're making rules basically around one guy.
So what baseball is doing is they're kind of rolling out some changes to the rules over the next couple of years. The ones for 2019 are really not that impactful. The biggest thing, I think, is actually the one single trade deadline. They didn't move it to June, which was a possibility. They're keeping it July 31st, but there's no more waiver wire deals. So July 31st is the last time you can make changes to your roster. They're making inning breaks shorter, if I can speak, and mound visits are being reduced from 6 to 5.
Oh, here we go.
So all the talk last year about how many times is Gary Sanchez going to have to go out and talk to the pitchers? Well, now he has to count to 5 instead of 6.
Yeah, and then the All-Star Game bonus too, I think, is interesting. Having the Home Run Derby, yeah. It's basically putting a bounty on the Home Run Derby as of $1 million. Yeah, it makes it interesting.
I love that. Yeah, and so Judge said, I'm not going to do it. It doesn't impact my decision. I don't want to get hurt again, which I think is interesting. He said again. But $1 million is almost double what he makes this year. So if you have some young guys who want to make some more cash,
there's going to be a lot more.
Let's go do the home run.
There's going to be a lot more pre-arbitration guys that are looking at that. Like, okay, maybe I can tailor my swing a little bit and get into this derby and win $1 million. Yeah, I think there's going to be
hell yeah.
There's definitely going to be some more interest in it. We'll see how many of these guys actually get on and what level of names are added to this. But it definitely makes it interesting. I kind of like it.
As long as there's no Yankees getting injured.
Right.
That's just the caveat. The 2020 rules are the bigger ones. So the 3-batter minimum is going to be instituted. We talked about that. I kind of like it. What's your opinion on that? I forget.
I'm impartial. Like I have no problem with it. I think I don't think it really impacts the team as much. I feel like
yeah, there was some articles. I think Petriello put one out last week, going over like the last 5 years of data, and it's there's only a handful of guys that usually face less than 3 batters.
Yeah, so that is not a big concern for me. The fact that there's a whole bunch of other ones with the injured list going back to 15 days, like that is strange because they wanted to bring the 10-day list in, we thought, for the concussion protocol. So I guess they're no longer saying that you can have a shortened list.
I think they're realizing. I think they're realizing teams just took advantage of it too much with the pitcher with all the bullpen switches and the roster, and you can manipulate the roster to where you basically have a fresh pitcher on the roster every day, and then you're just churning through bullpens.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid. 26-man roster for the regular season. A 27th player will be allowed for doubleheaders. And then, as Manny mentioned, so September call-ups are being reduced to 28. And I have seen everyone in favor of this because they always say that September call-ups make the games kind of like a circus, because the most important games of the season, when teams are fighting for playoff spots, you got like pinch runners every 2 seconds and you got 40 people in the bullpen coming in. So I like that they're just reducing it to 28.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think that when you're Well, one, you're getting a 26-man roster in the regular season, so you have the ability to have that other guy, you know, for a lot longer time. And then when you're getting the expanded roster, it's just making it not as big of a deal because you already have another guy there. And you, look, we won't have a designated pinch runner like the what was his name, Noel.
Hector
Rico Noel or Noel, so
Rico.
Anyway, he like those guys won't be on the roster anymore. That's right. What you're seeing.
But also adding a 26 man for the regular season, that's 30 major league baseball jobs.
That's a big deal. Yeah, that's an absolutely big deal.
And players love that because the whole manipulating service time thing. Well, now there's an extra roster spot that you can get guys up sooner. They can enter the arbitration process sooner and then get to free agency sooner. And then as Manny asked about the two-way players, so it is kind of like an Ohtani rule. It does not affect most teams and most players because a player qualifies for the two-way player if he accrues at least 20 major league innings and at least 20 games started at a position or DH. And you have to designate, is this player a pitcher or a position player when he's added to the roster? Okay, so a position player can't pitch. I get that's what they're going for. He can't pitch unless the game goes to extra innings or it's more than a 6-run differential, which is the only time position players pitch anyway. When are they ever pitching in a key 7th inning? Never. It's only in blowouts or the 15th inning.
It's only in blowouts.
So that rule did jack shit.
No, that's the whole point of it is Ohtani. That's what's crazy about it. They're literally making this for one guy. So, but they have to. I mean, I think they have to. And I'm sure they heard it from other GMs and other, you know, other teams saying, look, this is a concern. If they can do this with this guy and bring him in at any point, like that shouldn't be allowed. And obviously the league listened to that.
And that's what we talked about, like when the Yankees were interested in Ohtani. It's like Cashman talked about all of the roster flexibility that he provides. So that's, I think, why he was such an attractive player to major league teams. But thank you to everyone who submitted mailbag questions. That's going to do it for this episode. I think Scott and I are feeling the effects of the weekend. It was a ton of fun. Shout out to everyone who came out on Friday, came out on Saturday to the event, came to the brewery afterwards. And I know, Scott, I'm already looking forward to the 5th annual spring training event next year because I think this is something we're going to continue for a long time.
Yeah, no, it's a really good kickoff to the season. It was a lot of fun, again, just reiterating the fact that I love hanging out with all passionate Yankee fans that are, you know, either listening to the show or have found the event and anything that we're doing at some point on social media or wherever you found it. Come on out, come hang out. That's where this thing gets really great is, you know, meeting everybody else in the community. I know that you see everybody talking to each other. Everybody's talking Yankee baseball. So lots of friends are being made. Lots of new friends are being made. And that's what's great. We're meeting families of people that have come for a couple years. So there's a lot of really cool stuff. And I think it's becoming a special thing. So we want more and more and more people to come in and be involved because just more numbers makes it that much better.
That's going to do it for us. But a reminder, Tuesday and Wednesday, George's Box episodes, the first ever. Check those out, and we will talk to you next week.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.